I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. He joins us now. Legs, what's going on, man?
What's happening? Man. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good, man. Appreciate your time,
Thank
as
you so
always.
Much for this.
Get right to it. We live in an age, Legs, as you know, where if you are not contending for an NBA championship, you have to blow it up. Like, that's just the way it works. There's no in-between. The Raptors, on the other end, have just been good, right? They've not been able to get out of the Eastern Conference. They've just been good for what feels like forever. Did they show last night that there is another way to do this, that you can remain good, stay consistent, and then catch a couple breaks and do this thing?
Man, I don't know if I would say this is now like a different type of blueprint than what the NBA has become. Mm-hmm. I just think this was a perfect scenario for this to happen. And I mean that from this standpoint. There aren't a lot of teams that it makes sense to go all in on a one-year rental potentially for a player when you're moving the guy that's the face of your franchise. Like, very few situations would you say, yeah, that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. worth the risk. This one made all the sense in the world because – this was a 59-win team. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They had been good and relevant for a handful of years. But you had a situation in which they knew there was a ceiling with DeMar DeRozan as their best player. Kawhi Leonard is a guy that you go after in that situation because even if it doesn't work out and you don't win a title and you have to reload if he leaves town, at least you've given it your best shot because you already know what the best was with DeMar DeRozan, and it was mm-hmm. not going to be this.
Yep.
So for me, it made a lot of sense. I still think that you're going to see guys consistently pairing up around the league in free agency and trying to, you know, find new teams and new challenges to go take on together. So I don't know that what they just did is actually going to be able to be replicated because there are very few teams that I would say it makes sense to take that kind of risk.
Right.
And let's see if somebody's willing to do that now with Anthony Davis. I mean, you know, it's kind of a similar situation, you know, but you look at a team like Boston, for instance, and you say, I don't know, it's not like they've never won a championship. They got a ton of banners hanging up, and they're trying to get long-term success, so that doesn't make sense. They're not desperate to win a title. In Toronto's case, it was now or never. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go get this player and see if he could get you over the top to the finals. And, you know, he did that. He got him a championship.
And I'm just to stick on this real quick, Tim, because I got so many questions about the game. But because we're here, if you're Danny Ainge, right, and that's where we're at right now, it feels a little bit different because they're telling you it's only going to be for one, even if it's just talk, I mean, than Kawhi was, right? Because – and, I mean, Dad's come out and said, I don't want to be there, and Anthony hadn't shown any sign that he wants to be there. Isn't it a little bit different in terms of taking that gamble with Davis?
Yeah, see, I think it's a different scenario because you know, the fact that he hasn't said it, but his representation.
Yes.
When they've come out as strongly and as vocally as they have and saying, telling you right now, the guy's going to free agency. Yep. Don't waste your time. His father has made comments about not wanting him in Boston long term. Like,
right.
When you get those kind of red flag warnings, it's really buyer beware at that point. That wasn't the case with Kawhi Leonard. He didn't put out those kind of mandates and you know, draw a line in the sand. He was willing to accept going there and doing the best he could and wanted to do something special, and he accomplished it. I think all along the people in Toronto were hoping, hey, maybe he'll get here, love the city, love the franchise, see how great it is to play here. And particularly after winning a championship, maybe now we can convince him to stay. That remains to be seen.
Tim, you're a shooter. Are you taking Steph in that shot, you know, every night? You drawing that one up every night? I know the inbounds played him, but they do get it to Steph. He gets a relatively open look. You living with that one most of the time?
I mean, think about what we're saying. Despite everything that team went through, you get a fairly clean look from the greatest shooter that's ever walked this earth, to, you know, in a spot that he's made thousands of shots in his career. Yeah, you're living with that. Yeah. I think if he could do it again,
he would realize he did not stay with the shot like the way that he normally does.
Mm.
It's almost like he was bailing out on it before he even hit the ground and backpedaling. Like he did
not stay
strong with the shot. You know, Klay Thompson and even Steph, when he's hit, you know, big ones.
Yep.
And Klay Thompson's a great example of this in some of the ones that he's hit. The one he hit the other night, the game winner. You know, it's that extra land, and then you stay in one place, and you keep that arm extended to the rim to finish the shot. And Steph did not do that on that. He drifted, and he bailed out on it because I think he felt rushed, and he wanted to make sure he got it off.
Yeah.
He had more space and time than he thought he did. So he'd love to have it over again, but you can't ask for more than that if you're Steve Kerr. You got to live with that.
Legs, how about Klay Thompson last night? I mean, to come back out of the locker room and you know, obviously we find out later that it's a torn ACL. I imagine that just had to be pure adrenaline. But I mean, does he get elevated to legend status for coming out and not only making the free throws, but also, like, trying to get back on defense? Like, he wanted to play. He wanted to be in that game.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of goes with his reputation. That's everything you've heard about Klay Thompson is that. You got to basically kill him to keep him off the court. You know, there are different degrees, and I can speak to this from experience. There are different degrees of an ACL tear. There's some that are called a vanilla ACL tear, which literally just the ACL and no surrounding peripheral damage. Because I can tell you right now, when I tore my ACL in 1996, I tore my ACL, PCL, MCL, cartilage.
Oh.
There's no way in hell I was going to be able to stand up on it. I got carried off the court. Never could have considered, you know, trying to jog and jump and come back out on the court and shoot free throws and all that stuff. So I'm curious to see what the official diagnosis is in terms of other damage, because it was inconceivable to me that was his ACL when I saw him back in that tunnel trying to jog and trying to jump and get loose. And I said right then, I was watching the game, I was ready to go on TV, and I said, well, I said, it can't be his ACL because there's no way he could be that active on it. But it's very possible it's what they call just a simple vanilla ACL tear that just slit that right in half. And he didn't have all that peripheral damage, but I can tell you he probably got a lot of swelling in there today. But I give him a lot of credit, man, for wanting to stay in there and understanding that, hey, I'm going to go shoot these free throws because if this isn't something serious, I might go back here, get this thing wrapped up, and come out and try to finish this game. But if he didn't shoot the free throws, he wasn't going to be allowed to do that. So I give him credit for that.
No doubt.
No doubt. We are, of course, talking to Tim Legler, NBA analyst for ESPN. So as it relates to the future now, for next season, you're not going to have Klay Thompson, most likely, at least until February or March. No KD, and we'll see what happens in free agency. I don't know if the Warriors dynasty is over. I guess that will all be decided, you know, in the year or years to come, and especially what happens this summer. But isn't there sort of tyranny, right? The invincibility with which it felt like they had with Klay and KD and Steph, like, isn't that era over now?
Yeah, that part of it's gone. Now, I wouldn't rule out the Golden State Warriors staying, you know, as a contender in the Western Conference and potentially making it back to another NBA Finals. I would not rule that out because whether KD stays or goes, Klay Thompson's going to come back, if not next year necessarily, but he will be, in my opinion, 100% because of the nature of his game. He's not relying on explosive ability.
Right.
He's a 6'7" shooter. Like he's a guy that's going to get everything back. And if you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and those guys are paired up, you got the greatest shooting tandem in the history of this league, how are you going to rule that team out by adding pieces and with a great front office to make it another run at this thing? So I don't think those days are over, but the ease with which it looked, that's gone. It's now going to be a grinded-out challenge year after year for as long as Steph Curry can stay in his prime and continue to do these things at a high level. So you're not going to see that dominance where some nights it just looks comically easily. That's not going to happen again. But I'm not going to rule out this team because there's so much uncertainty with so many teams that think they're next in line. I don't know what the landscape of the NBA is going to look like over the next two seasons.
Right.
So if they keep that constant of Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the front office and probably Draymond Green, if they just keep that together, I'm not ruling that team out getting back to another final. Maybe you win another championship down the road.
Tim, Fred VanVleet was fantastic. How does a guy go from averaging, you know, 2 points per game in the Philly series, you know, being a bit player, not even that, shooting 3% from three, to what looked like, Tim, and you tell me if you agree, He was the second most important player for Toronto in these finals. I mean, his consistency in the finals, the big shots he kept knocking down. How do you get that confidence level like that? You just have a kid? Is that it? You have a kid and all of a sudden your confidence is sky high? Like, Tim, he went from nothing to one of their most important pieces literally in a span of the playoffs.
I was during the Philadelphia series, it got to the point where and I know some people with the Toronto Raptors organization pretty well that do their TV and radio. And I was exchanging thoughts with them, and they didn't say it, but I did. I said, how the heck can they keep running Fred VanVleet out there? They got to go in a different direction. Because he looked like it was more than just not playing well. He looked like he had lost every ounce of confidence.
I'm with you, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we were at. So it's literally one of the most dramatic turnarounds I've ever seen a guy have. That wasn't related to his health in any way.
Right.
That just was related to what was between his ears and then physically making it happen in one postseason. I don't know you can even find another example of a guy that was struggling that badly, and particularly as a role player. Because when you're a role player and you're struggling like that, most likely your minutes are going to get cut and you're never going to get an opportunity. So I give Nick Nurse credit for staying with him.
Yep.
And giving him, continuing to give him 24, 25 minutes in games in which he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I think more than anything, Fred VanVleet really needs to go give Nick Nurse a big hug because the confidence he showed in him allowed him to fight through it and turn this around. And you're a 100% right, probably the second most important player. In fact, I heard last night, Hubie Brown voted.
Yes.
For him for MVP in the series.
Yeah. Oh, Huey. He did. He gave him the – I don't think he can do it. What was this, the second – you almost got to do it just on the entire playoffs for Kawhi, right? Second most points we've ever seen scored in the playoffs by the champion.
I've said this forever. This is what I've said forever. I just think there needs to be an additional award in the
NBA. With you.
There really needs to be an award like hockey does for the entire postseason.
Yep.
You think about this. Think about this. Klay Thompson, if he stays healthy, doesn't get hurt, and they come back and win that series, I'm going to tell you right now, Klay Thompson's probably going to win the MVP of the finals. And Steph Curry would have four rings without a finals MVP, and he's the key to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, in one of those years, if you just went by the entire postseason, Steph Curry probably gets that. So I just think there needs to be something special to encapsulate both months because it's the most important basketball of the year. Like, we're going to crown some MVP. It's either going to be James Harden or Giannis Antetokounmpo, and look at the way Kawhi Leonard played for the 2 months that matter most.
Oh, I'm with you, 100%.
It feels like as we sort of spin it forward and look toward next season, it feels like the Lakers have become the chic pick. Everybody's looking at the Lakers now. I know some Vegas sports books have the Lakers as the odds-on favorite early on, as far out as we are from next season. Are you riding with the Lakers next season, Legs?
No, I'm not. And I think right now, if you ask me, because there's so much uncertainty, and if you go with what is known as we sit here today, the day after the season, and obviously a couple weeks before free agency and the draft, sitting here today, what we know, I think the two teams that you'd say are probably the favorites to win it would be Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
Interesting.
Because there aren't going to be drastic changes there. Like, Philadelphia's going to re-sign Jimmy Butler. They might re-sign Tobias Harris. Milwaukee is fairly going to stay intact. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo, if he takes on the challenge of addressing his own weaknesses, which were exposed badly in the Toronto series, and he adds the ability to score over the top of a defense from 18 feet and out, if he adds that to his game, which I think he's a hard enough worker to do it, you say, hey, Milwaukee is a 60-win team again. Philadelphia is basically intact. They came within a four-bounce Game 7 ridiculous circus shot of beating Toronto. They're the two teams, to me, that are the most constant. Everything else in this league right now with the top teams is fluid. Boston's fluid. It's fluid in Toronto. It's fluid with Golden State with these injuries and free agency with Kevin Durant. Houston said their entire roster is for sale if you want it. I mean, there are so many things we do not know. The three teams that are probably the most solid as we sit here would be Denver, Philly, and Milwaukee.
Yeah. And the way you put it, it's interesting. You may be – I just wonder if LeBron's just sitting back sort of, you know, rubbing his hands together. Hey, Kyrie, you know, I know the reports are he's going to go to Brooklyn. But, Kyrie, who has shown legs, right, he needs to be 1B. I mean, and Lord knows he knows everything that LeBron wants. And then they make a trade for Anthony Davis, and all of a sudden that thing looks – that thing looks like a champion, doesn't it? Do you rule that out?
I think what we learned about Kyrie Irving this year was that he was really good riding sidecar.
100%. Yes.
And he didn't know, I think, how difficult it is to lead young players.
That's
and
it, Tim.
He went to Boston because he wanted to get out of the shadow of LeBron and say, hey, man, I'm good enough, talented enough to take my own team to the finals, right? And he does have the talent. But when he got there and what he found out over the last 2 years, man,
leading.
It's a different world.
Yeah,
every day they're coming to you to answer the questions. You have to explain things. You have to take responsibility. You have to lead. You have to put out fires in the locker room.
Yep.
Man, that was nice when LeBron was taking care of all that for me and I can just go ball.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
So now, and now he's I think, back in that situation where that's why it seems tailor-made he ends up with Kevin Durant, because he's back in that situation again. Kevin could be the magnetic force
that's
to take
true.
All that stuff on him, and I could just go stay in my lane and play basketball.
That's true.
So whether it's LeBron or KD, and it's, obviously this injury could change some things. So look, it's going to be fascinating. And, you know, I know we all want to know what these guys are going to do, but truth of the matter is nobody knows. And I have no idea what Kawhi Leonard's going to do, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. No clue what those guys are going to do, but it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks as we sit back and watch this unfold.
Yeah, the balance of power in the NBA,
fun.
I think, could shift before our very eyes. Tim, I always
you
appreciate
are the best,
this,
sir.
Man. Thank you.
My pleasure, gentlemen. My pleasure.
Yes, sir. He is Tim Legler, NBA analyst for ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.